Let us pray. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do today, but I do know what you can't do. Lord, let us experience the very grace and love that you offer. Lord, let your people have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts willing to obey what you have commanded your church to be and to do. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, or doesn't have the assurance of faith that is offered through Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would see your arms willing to cover all their sins, that the door of heaven is opened by you, and only through you can they enter it. Lord, prepare our hearts for what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but when you watch a video like that, something wells up inside of you. Something begins to strike a nerve when you see the lostness and the brokenness and the suffering that is happening in the world. To know that women and children are being sold into sex trafficking, as little as $80 is the going rate for a young child who looks just like one of our children, who has some of the same desires. The same common threads of wanting to be loved and cherished and honored, being sold to literally be a piece of meat for somebody. Does watching that video inspire you? Does something emotionally well up inside of you? Let me just say that emotions is not enough. I know it's not enough because it's not the first time I've seen a video like that. Matter of fact, I've seen that video probably 20 times in the past 2 days, just letting it saturate my mind and my heart. We've all seen videos, maybe not to that degree, but we know the suffering that is happening in our world, the suffering that is happening in our own country, in our own city. It's plastered on the news. It's plastered on Facebook. You cannot escape it. You think about it. You think about your own family trying to make things as secure as you possibly can. But we know emotions is not enough because oftentimes those emotions begin to fade and action has never happened. And the church that Jesus established by his very own sacrifice was a church meant for action. So this morning, we're going to look at an awesome passage of Scripture in the Psalms. Did you know that as you read the Psalms and you look for certain language that is in the Psalms, it really is a psalm about missions. And this morning, for us as a church, specifically Charleston Baptist Church, and if you're visiting with us today, thank you so much for being here. But the challenge for us as a church, as people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, is to have a heart of missions like Jesus himself had. And so this morning, we're going to look at an awesome passage of Scripture, and I pray that the Spirit of God and the truth of God and the power of God would so captivate your heart and your soul that it will recapture the heart for God's mission. Our psalm this morning is found, we'll just read four verses. Scripture says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." So based off this passage, I want us to look at four important questions. We're going to ask four important questions, and we're going to answer four important questions on how you and I, as the church, can position ourselves so that you and I would recapture a heart for God's mission. And the first question is this: what is our mission? What is our mission? When we think about us as a church, as individuals, when we think about us as a family of faith, what is our mission? And right out of this text, there are two anchors that anchor us into the very mission that God has called us to. And the first anchor is this: worship. Worship. Our mission is to worship. First and foremost, above all else, it is to be a church that worships God. Remember what the psalmist has said in the first two verses. He says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name." I love this passage because the passage that we're reading has incredible missional language. It talks about telling of this salvation. It talks about declaring His glory among the nations. It talks about declaring His deeds, His works among all the peoples. But before he gets there, before he gets to the missional language of what the church is supposed to be doing, there is a command, an exhortation to worship. Why is that? Why does the psalmist deal with the heart of worship before he gets to the heart of missions? This is why. Your desire to be on mission with God is dependent on your worship of God. Your desire to be on mission with God is dependent on your worship of God. That's what's happening in this particular passage. It's referring back to events that happened in 1 Chronicles 16. And the scripture talks about this new song. And ultimately, the new song that you and I are going to sing as children who are adopted in the family of God, that new song is going to happen when the millennial reign of Jesus Christ happens towards the end. But there's also a new song that happens today for you and I, because in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles 16, it talks about how the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, the very power of God, the very provisioning of God, what that represented, at one point was lost in battle. God's people have went astray. But now, God has delivered His people. The Ark of the Covenant is coming back to the place where it belongs. And it's out of that heart of God's deliverance, God's mercy, God's faithfulness, His grace and His forgiveness, the very fact that you and I, as children of God, have victory, walking victory every single day over the sin nature, it acknowledges all that God has done and all that God is doing. And this new song, church, this new song brings about praise and worship, because it's a song of joy. It's a song of deliverance. It's a song of new life. It's a new song that the things of the past The sin of the past, the bondage of the past, the captivity of the past, the wandering and the searching of the past has now been fulfilled with our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says, before you tell, before you declare, before you proclaim the marvelous acts of who He is to a world that desperately knows Him, you must worship Me. You must have a heart of worship and praise. You see, the greatest thing we bring into the family of faith, the church, this local body, as we come together as the people of God and join together in God's activity for His mission for the world, the lost and the broken world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that He has come, Emmanuel is here. The greatest thing we bring is not our gifts. It's not our talents. It's not our resources. It's not our intellect. It's not in our ministries. It's not in the methods on how we do our ministries or our service. The greatest thing we bring to the family of faith, you physically bring to the church, is your personal love for Jesus Christ, your worship of Him. That's the greatest thing we bring. Because apart from worship, you and I can't be on mission with God. We can't. We simply cannot. Everything God desires to do through us as a church, He first must have to do in us. It's the overflow of what God is doing in us. And when we come to a place of worship and praise, regardless of the circumstances in life. Listen, this Christianity is not a cookie-cutter approach to life where you're void of pain and suffering and all these things. If anything, a true follower of Christ, according to the Word of God, makes life tougher, more suffering, more pain, more persecution. But it's in the midst of knowing that new song that is inside of you, Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you through the Spirit of God, that brings about praise and honor and worship. Listen to this quote by John Piper. It's an awesome book if you want to read it. It's called Let the Nations Be Glad. And in there he says this, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. Passion for God, worship towards God always precedes our ability and effectiveness in how we go about doing missions for God. Listen, you and I both know that we can be very busy. Busy in the church, busy in our families, busy doing lots of different things. But at the same time, if we're not truly worshiping God, spending time with God, praising God, finding our joy and satisfaction in God, we're not being missional. We're busy, yes. But the very heart of God and missions to the world will not be in our hearts. It boils down to worship for the body of Christ. We as a body of Christ are to worship Him collectively and to worship Him individually. You know, that's one of the main reasons why we gather on Sunday. To have the whole church, God's church, the local body of Christ, where we meet and gather together to worship God, even when that week before or that week coming is going to be of great challenge, of great struggle. Even in the midst of all that stuff, we come together, we join together in unity, and we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because no matter what happens in this life, that new song is there. But sometimes we lose our passion for worship because that new song that is there has become overcome with the old songs that we're used to listening to. And so when we gather as a church, we're encouraged to live life based on the new song. That's one of the beauties of why we worship together on Sunday mornings. And that worship is not just for Sunday. That worship is every single day of our life. That every day that God gives us breath, that it will begin with a heart of worship because of who He is and the new song that He has given to us through Jesus Christ. Our mission is not only to worship, but our mission is also to share. To share. That's the second answer. That's the second anchor. Worship and share. But don't get those mixed up. Worship always precedes our ability to share the message of the good news of the gospel. What do we mean by share? The word here, to tell, in this particular passage carries the idea of a messenger announcing a message, bringing good news to people. That word declare, which means to share important news. Important news. You know what it's like, some of us. When you're expecting a child and you're waiting for those that safety week to come. I don't know what that is anymore. Is that 16 weeks, 12 weeks? I'm not even sure. 20 weeks. You know what I'm talking about. It's like you have really good news and you may tell a select people, but you really want to tell the whole world about what's going on. That's kind of like what this word is saying. You've got such great news. You know some information that you want, desire to share to people. But let me fill you in on something. We don't have to wait to the 20-week ultrasound. We have the ability to share the good news of the gospel every moment of every day, and how we live, how we act, how we speak, and how we think. What are we to tell and declare? The scripture tells us in verses 2 and 3, it says, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. The mission, out of the overflow of the love of worship of Him, don't get that mixed up, gives us the catalyst, the fuel, the fire, the ability to tell people about the salvation that He has bringing, the glory of who He is, and the works that He is doing. You see, we're not armed with philosophies about how to do life. We're not simply gifted to be advisors, to give advice to people in the situations that they're facing. We're not even here to be self-help motivators. We're here as messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way of salvation is found in the gospel. That's why we're here. We're spokespeople. We're messengers of this new song that is happening inside of us. The fact that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised from the grave, showing God's approval for His sacrifice for sin. And now through Him, because of that sacrifice, we have forgiveness. We have a relationship. We have a totally new trajectory of life, new passions, new loves, new desires. We have eternal life ahead, and we have abundant life today. It's found in the new song. You see, God brought this church together over 30 years ago so we would share that message both locally, nationally, and globally, the good news of the gospel. And really and truly, it's really what Jesus' life was all about. Do you realize that? In John 17, Jesus is about to be falsely accused and tried and murdered. And he's in the garden and he's praying to the Father. And towards the end of his prayer, listen to what he says in verses 25 through 26. He says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, what does he say? He says, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. And then what does he say? I made you known to them your name. And what? And I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Do you see the mission that Christ was on? He wanted to know the Father, and he wanted to do what? He wanted to make him known to the people. And that's the same mission that Charleston Baptist Church is called to. The same mission is this. The mission is to know Him and to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. We cannot get sidetracked from that. We cannot get caught up in all the distractions of life. Not just church stuff. I'm talking about life stuff. The things that distract us in life. The things that pull at us in life. And they're not all bad things. Some of those good things in life that we pursue become idols. And when things become idols in our life, instead of worshiping Him, we worship those things. And it takes us away from the very mission that God has established in our hearts as a church. And that is to know Him and to make Him known to the world. And that brings us to the next question. Where are we to be on mission? Where are we to be on mission? And really, the psalmist is going to give three different phrases which give us the scope of missions. What is the scope of missions? He talks about, really, our city. Our city. He says, tell of His salvation from day to day. That is where we live, where we do our continuous activity, day in and day out. The things that we do, the places that we shop, the schools that we go to, the places of work that we go to, where we do life day to day. Listen, missions doesn't start when you get on a plane. Missions doesn't start when you go to some camp or on some mission trip. Mission starts the very second you get out of bed. The moment your foot hits the floor, you're on mission with God. That's where it starts. Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, even total strangers. All the people that God has placed around you. The eyes of lostness. The eyes of brokenness and suffering and hurting. That is in the city of Charleston. One of the most populated places in the country for sex trafficking is found on the east coast of South Carolina. You know that? It's right here. Right here. The lostness, the brokenness is right here. Listen, 30 years ago, God did not birth this church so that we would simply pray for ourselves and take care of our own needs. Yes, that is true. But when God birthed this church, He had the city of Charleston on His heart. So the scope is the city, but the scope gets bigger. He talks really about our country. He speaks about declaring His glory among the nations. So think about our country for a minute. I know there's a lot of things going wrong, and we get tied up about the negative things. But understand what the Scripture is saying. He says, declare His glory among the nations. Let me give you an illustration of what that looks like. I'm going to put four countries up on the screen. Countries like China and India and Indonesia and the United States. Do you know what all four of these countries have in common? Numerically, they are the four largest lost nations in the world. China, number one. India, number two. Indonesia, number three. And God bless America, out of 196 nations, the United States of America is number four, numerically, based on lost population. Over 220 million people in the United States have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. North America is the only continent where Christianity is not increasing. It is not growing. Yet North America houses roughly 95% of all the world's resources right here, and yet Christianity is not growing. What does this tell us? It tells us that though we have much, we may ultimately die with nothing. That's what that's telling us, that resources aren't enough. It's only the gospel that provides something eternally. 95% of the earth's resources are right here, yet North America is the only continent where Christianity isn't growing. When God birthed this church, He had the United States of America, this country, on His heart. The fourth largest mission numerically in the world is right here where we live. Right here. Do you see the opportunity that we have? That goes beyond criticism, that goes beyond hatred for... Unfortunately, the church hates people, not the sin, so many times. And the mission of God is to say, hey, you hate sin, you love the people, you see them the way I see them as redeemed souls. Let your heart be on your country. He doesn't stop there, though. He talks about our world. He talks about our world. Look at verse 3. He says, His marvelous works among all the peoples. That word all means everyone. That word peoples doesn't just refer to nations. It refers to people groups. There are 196 nations in the world, but out of those 196 nations, there are approximately 16,000 people groups. A people group has their own unique language, their own unique culture, history, customs, and over roughly 16,000 different ones represent approximately 7 billion people. Of those approximate 16,000 people groups, 7,000 of them are what's considered unreached. That means over 1.5 billion people have little to no access for the gospel. You know what's not missing in most of those 7,000 unreached people groups? What's not missing is Coca-Cola. Now, that sounds a little bit humorous, but I want you to think about something. Coca-Cola was established about 130 years ago. And that company's marketing strategy has infiltrated most of those 7,000 unreached people groups. Yet, 2,000 years ago, the God of heaven broke into humanity to show His love for those who were captive in their own sin. And willingly, through His Son, went to the cross so that you and I could have a relationship with Him. And you ask yourself, who's responsible for that? The church. The church. The global church is responsible for that. You see, when God birthed our church, it was never about us. God was at work inviting us to go on mission to the whole world. That brings us to the third question. Why are we to be on mission? This is the key. This is birth out of worship. Why are we to be on mission? Verse 4. The psalmist says, For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Why are we to be on mission? If that means locally or nationally or globally, whatever that looks like for us as a church, for you as an individual, for you as a family, why are we to be on mission with God? And the answer is simply this: because He's worth it. He's worth it. That's what worship means. You ascribe worth to something. And in a continent that has 95% of all the earth's resources, what we have delegated our worship to is the things in our life. The things that we go by, the things that we ingest in our own bodies, the activities that we do. And He's saying, listen, the reason why we go on mission, which is birth out of worship towards God, is because He is worth it. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is great in power. He is great in mercy. He is great in grace and provision and protection. He is a kind Father. He has a heart for saving sinners. And because He is great, you and I should be on mission with Him. That brings us to the last question. How can I share in the mission? How can I share in the mission? Because on some level, when you think about all the stuff that you saw in the video, and you think about 7 billion and 1.7 billion and roughly 16,000 people groups, and 7,000 of those are primarily unreached, meaning they don't have access to the gospel or very little access to the gospel. It's a bit overwhelming, so let's make it personable. Personable in the level of the church, and then you as an individual believer in Jesus Christ. How can you join in? How can you share in on the mission with God? This is the challenge, though, isn't it? This is what takes you past emotion. It brings you to activity. You know, the life of Christ is not void of emotions, but it should never be led by emotions, because our emotions fail all the time. Our life as a Christian is leveled and leveraged and motivated, and the catalyst itself is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love that He has poured on us. And so there are five ways, and based on what I just said, the first one is this: worshiping. You want to share in the mission of God? Have a heart that worships God. Have a heart that worships God. It's the very worship of God that compels us to be the people of God and the church of God. But there's a cost. In all of these ways, there's a cost. There's a sacrifice that is presented to you. And I can't name all of those, but I can at least jog our minds and our hearts a little bit to say, yes, it's going to cost me something. The cost of worshiping is constantly, day after day, removing the idols of the heart, the things that get in the way of our worship with God, all the distractions of life, and get into a healthy rhythm of spending time with the Lord, confessing our sin and repenting and living in the joy that He has given us. Remember, worship is the fuel for missions. If you desire for Jesus to be seen in your life, for those around you, you must have a heart of worship. Listen, you can't mechanically birth that in your life, but you can do certain things to make sure that your heart is always in tune with worshiping God. And one of the main ways is spending time with God and confessing your sin before God and turning away from that sin and gathering together as believers in Christ and worshiping God together. Second way is multiplying. Multiplying, we mean discipleship here, but multiplying. Invite others to come alongside you as you follow Christ so that they may follow Christ wherever they are. Discipleship doesn't just start with believers, because part of discipleship is evangelism. You're sharing the good news to people that don't have a relationship with God. So you're meeting them where they're at. That's where the discipleship process starts, meeting them where they're at. And so you're inviting people to come alongside you as you follow Christ so that they might themselves follow Christ. Disciple making is not an easy process. It requires a lot of time, a lot of dedication, a lot of energy, a lot of intentionality. It's the willingness to get with messy people in messy situations. And as a church, we are going to restructure our focus and our intentionality with discipleship. And Lord willing, we will present those to you, hopefully, so that we can start working on those things by next year. But it's got to be a focus where we are discipling believers in Jesus Christ, preparing them for the things that happen in our life and in this world, so that we can be great messengers of the good news of the gospel to all those who come in our path. Listen, methods may change. How we do ministry may change. But the mission of God never changes. It's to make disciples. A third way that you can share in the mission of God is giving. Giving. And there's a cost here as well. You must transfer the ownership of all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. Your life is no longer your life. It is His life. Your time is no longer your time. It is His time. Your possessions are no longer your possessions. They are now His possessions. Your future is no longer your future. It is His future. Your tithes and offerings that you bring sacrificially go to awesome ministries that impact not only Charleston, but globally. Missions and ministries like Awana and the Lowcountry Pregnancy Center, the Lowcountry Biblical Counseling Center, Core Sports, the Bread of Life Ministry, The list goes on and on and on. We as a church partner with the Southern Baptist Convention in the cooperative program where a portion of our tithes and offerings goes to them. And what do? They support seminaries so that people will be trained so that they can go out and be missionaries. It supports church planting. It supports orphan care. It supports partnerships among the churches. Part of your tithe and offering goes to that. With a global reach, we have an opportunity this year to go a little bit above and beyond what we've traditionally done in the past with Operation Christmas Child. One of the things that the church is doing right now is collecting items to go into unreached people groups. 1,000 boxes that we're in the midst of collecting those items so that on October the 22nd, we can put those boxes together with the hope and the prayer that they will go to those unreached people groups and people for the very first time will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity to give to that. The fourth way is going. Going. Count the cost with going. Going requires you to go outside your comfort zone. We know it. We love our comfort zone. We put alarm systems on our comfort zone, right? We love it. Listen, your comfort zone, getting out of that might be simply going next door to your neighbor or across the street. Or maybe it's at your school and talking to the person that doesn't have anybody to talk to. Or maybe as a teacher, showing incredible patience and grace and compassion, knowing that maybe your primary goal in their life is not to teach them mathematics or science, but yet is to teach them that God has a family and He wants you to be in His family. Your life may look crazy on the outside, but there is a home that you can come to where you will be loved and cherished and valued. That's one of the reasons why we open up our gym. It's one of the reasons why young kids come during core basketball and spend the whole day here, because this is the only place that they go to where it's safe and secure and consistent. Maybe for you, going is to go to our public schools and help in our mentorship ministry. Maybe for you, it's serving in Awana, core sports, helping out in the Bread of Life ministry. Maybe talking to your coworker. Regardless of what it is, going always requires sacrifice. It messes with your routine. It messes with your priorities. It pushes you out of your comfort zone. It takes incredible dedication and intentionality. It also requires you to get past the American dream. And this is so subtle in our life here, but I do believe our mindset on why we live here is jaded because of the American dream. The idea that our primary goal in life and the goal for our children is to grow up with a great education, with a great job, so that they will be well off in a nice neighborhood with a nice car. And if they're willing, have one child, maybe two children. Listen, the American dream is not bad, but God's dream for the church is far greater. It may include those things, but it should never be captivated by those things. For you, it may be foreign missions. It may be stateside missions. It may be being a foster parent or maybe even adoption. Maybe for you it's changing your career path so that you can answer the call of God on your life. Listen, when you worship God and you're willing to share what God has done, the new song that is in you, you will always say, regardless of how tough it may be, that He is worth it and His mission is worth it. And this is the last one, praying. Praying. You know, we can't be on mission with God if we're not hearing from God. We can't. We get settled into our own way of thinking, but listen, as we pray to God and we hear from God and we see what God is doing, we see the mission that He has called us to. But not only are we to hear from God to know what we're supposed to be doing and how we're going to do it, but we have to have continuous fellowship and praying with God so that He communicates with us day in and day out through the Spirit. Let me ask you, as you come here today and you think about the Lord and you think about your relationship with Him, do you have ears to hear what He's saying to you? I'm convinced I know that he has spoken a long time to most of us on his calling in our life. But we have pushed it aside, pushed it aside, pushed it aside. You know what? God is gracious enough to continually bring it back to the forefront in your life. And all he's asking you to do is, are you willing to surrender to my will for your life? What is God telling you? Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to us as a church. He is speaking to you as an individual, as a family. Will you yield your life, leverage your life for the mission that God has for you? Worship passionately. Multiply intentionally. Give sacrificially. Go faithfully. And pray continuously. Here's how we're going to have our invitation today. We got two awesome things that we're going to do. One, we're going to do it as a whole body of Christ where we have an opportunity to respond to what God has just shown us in his word today. And so when the praise team comes up and as they sing, this is the invitation to you to respond to what God has been saying to you. And in faith, will you obey him? Whatever that looks like, maybe for you it's coming to faith for the very first time. If that's you, you simply have to come forward and say, I need Jesus, and we will start the journey together. We will partner together. Maybe for you, God is calling you to do something that seems radical, or maybe it seems very simple, but for whatever the reasons, you've kept pushing it aside. This is our time to respond to the Lord and worship. The second thing we're going to do after that happens is we're going to bring the Peru mission team up. They're leaving next Friday to go to Peru. And we're going to pray over them and pray that God would show them awesome and mighty things. And I think it's appropriate as a church that they know that we're not only going to pray for them today and through this next week, but we're going to pray for them as they go and as they are in Peru. And we long to hear the message and the stories of what God has done in them and through them as they go to Peru. So first thing we're going to do is we're all going to stand and we're going to sing to the Lord. And this is our time to worship.